Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you.
God bless you. Greetings. You're listening to Victory Against All Odds. I've lost my signal, so I do apologize. Give me just a moment, and we will get started. I'm going to just give you a little opening for just a minute here. I lost my, oh, there she is, my co-host. Woman of God, are you on the line?
I'm on the line. I got disconnected.
Yes, I dropped the call, and so I do apologize.
That's okay.
Good evening and welcome again. Thank all of you for joining me this evening on Blog Talk Radio. You're listening to Victory Against All Odds. I am your host, Evangelist Benton. Thank you again for tuning in. And please call someone, text one, let someone know that we are on the air. For my first-time listeners, know that Victory Against All Odds is a radio talk show for the family where we talk about some of the struggles, the obstacles that families face as it relates to child abuse, depression, domestic violence, substance abuse, suicide, and sexual abuse, as well as the residue that flows from the issues of life concerning these things mentioned. So let's talk. You may contact me at Victory Against All Odds, P.O. Box 26531, Raleigh, North Carolina 27611. Again, that's P.O. Box 26531, Raleigh, North Carolina 27611. Or you may email me. My email address is odds_against_U@yahoo.com. Again, that's odds_U@yahoo.com. Or if you have a question, concern, or if you would like to be a guest on the broadcast, you may call me on my confidential voicemail at 641-715-3900. Again, that's 641-715-3900, extension 343-658#. We are excited about, because we have indeed crossed over into the new year, year 2013. If you were on the last broadcast, you know that we had an awesome time as we decreed and declared some things into your life, gave you some words of encouragement. This is a year of manifestation of the things that God has promised us, a divine change for many who have waited patiently, seeking and praying and allowing God to remold them, to remodel them, and to shape our lives, exposing roots of many kinds and pulling them up, destroying them so that we can grow good seeds and bear good fruit. This is the manifestation of your seeds sown and planted. We praise God for what he is doing, what he has done, and what he will do in 2013. In order to manifest divine change, we must be broken and acknowledge what we need over what we desire or what we want in our flesh. If we are resisting, we are walking in the rebellion and rejection over our very own destiny. In other words, what I'm saying is you will forfeit, if you'll allow me to say that, that which is promised to you because we resist and we rebel and go against the things that God has promised us. If you tuned in on last week, as I said, you'll understand where we may be headed on this year, what we're going to be doing on this evening. If you missed the broadcast, I strongly encourage you to go back and listen and gain some strength and hear a word of encouragement for your life. This is a year of 2013. 13 represents the spirit of rebellion. It represents the spirit of rejection and the spirit of backsliding. As I always say, the broadcast is not about me. It is all about the Father, and it's about you and your needs. My assignment is to assist you and to help bring others into the place of deliverance. Hosea 4 and 6 says that the people are perished for lack of knowledge and understanding, so I thought it fitting to bring about understanding concerning 2013. So I wanted to talk this evening about the spirit of rebellion. And I also see that Dr. Dew, who has also joined me, and I'm going to go ahead on and open up his mic. Dr. Dew, welcome.
Welcome, sis. How are you doing there? God bless you, man.
Doing fine. I also have Prophetess Karen Brank on as well. She's her mic is open as well, and she's joining me this evening as well.
Amen.
So I wanted to talk about the spirit of rebellion. And, of course, when we talk about Hosea 4 and 6, we always talk about understanding. So first and foremost, we wanted to talk about what rebellion is. What does it mean to rebel? To rebel is to resist any authority. It can also mean to rise in arms against government. We know that there are various levels and types of rebellion, not only in the natural, but also in the spirit. So we're going to take a look at what this is. So those that are listening by radio, by computer, get a pad and pencil, and we're going to dig in and see what we can dig up on this evening. We wanted to talk about, rebellion, of course, again, is to resist authority. And if we look at that in the natural realm, in the earth realm, if you will, we talk about people who will not conform or unconformity, people who rebel their attitudes and just doing the opposite of what is expected of them. For this reason, many rebellious spirits are created because they tend to go against the grain and they attempt things that have never been done before. We see this in our younger generation. The creative nature of unconformity manifests itself by doing such things as new trends. We see this all the time, from commercials to what we wear, what we listen to, music, in all areas of our life, traditional values. Rebellious people reject standards and morals, and they see them as outdated, and they don't apply to the modern time. And because of this, rebellion tends to show itself as defying an old age belief system or adopting new values and foregoing the old ways and old times. Of course, we always hear our children, those of us who have children, say, well, that was the way y'all used to do it, but this is a new day and a new time. And then, of course, we have the rebellion when we talk about experimentation, drugs, attitudes, establishing hypocrisies of society, and, you know, just various levels in the natural realm. And then, of course, just plain old rebellion, defiance against authority, which is where I wanted to kind of go to. I just kind of had to dig through that. And, of course, we talk about authority. We're talking about open, defying authority in its clearest definition of what rebellion is. And it can be trivial. It can be what one would think as trivial, defying your authority in parents, teachers, you know, those who have rule over us. And we clearly see this, and as a prophet of God, I see this manifesting in government clearly, very, very. It is so clear that this is exactly what's going on now in government. If you go to the White House, it is absolutely obvious. And one of the biggest examples I can think of is this financial cliff that we were talking about, and how much rebellion that was being displayed there. Do you agree, Dr. Dew? I'm going to start with you because I know you've got to go. I wanted to start with you. Do you agree that we are seeing this on all levels?
Well, you have to understand that rebellion and disobedience may be really two different things. And rebellion, when I think about it, I think about the old term of witchcraft and the behaviors that people have. And yes, there is rebellion against authority, but in terms of people having choices, I think we have to also remember that God has made that provision for humanity. He did not make us automatons. He did not make us robots. And so people have the ability to choose right or wrong. Now, we as ministers, prophets, teachers, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, etc., we have the responsibility to share truth, but people have the responsibility to respond either in the affirmative or negative. And from the standpoint of when they share in a negative sense, I was looking up, I don't know if you're still there in that scripture, but in Hosea, were you in Hosea just a minute ago in the fourth chapter?
Yeah.
And if you look in verse 16, it says Israel is stubborn. And if we look at the children of Israel as kind of our example before and what we see today with people, and then it goes on to say in the New Living Testament, it says Israel is stubborn like a stubborn heifer. And I was, and of course the King James used that term too. And I think of all these Christians who get upset when somebody calls somebody a heifer. And they, you know, they're taking things right out of the Bible, but maybe out of context. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But King James says, for Israel slide at the back. Backsliding, you're talking about backsliding, as a backsliding heifer. Now the Lord will feed them as a lamb in a large place. That's Hosea 4 and 16. So you've got quite a few, you've got a lot on the platter tonight, and I wish I could really be with you for the whole conversation, because your definition, if you really narrow it down and stick with just rebellion, which is defined in the word, rebellion is as, that's the definition, the sin of witchcraft.
And so we're going there.
I know.
I'm dealing with it from the natural perspective, but we get ready to shift over to the spiritual. So you're right on it.
Okay, but anyway, you've got a wonderful topic, and I just pray someone will receive it that may have the challenge with all of this and know that God loves you, particularly if they're in the state of backslidden, if they're backslidden. And and one of the things that I share, and I want to just say this as a word of encouragement. If you're backslidden and you're listening to this, and it's because you saw so-called other Christians saying they were living the life, but then you caught them in the act of whatever, and it caused you to go back, hey, you got to forget about them. Don't worry. Look to Jesus. He is the only one of all 7 billion people, well, the millions of people been on the planet that was perfect. Everyone else that's been here on the planet are imperfect. And so don't look to the people, but look to Jesus and save yourself, as it says in Acts 2:40, before it's too late. Because the word of the Lord that I received this morning, as I was telling you, Prophet, was Jesus is coming and to repent. Folks, to get right with God. So you're right on with what you have, and that's going to be, you'll be hearing me saying that the rest of the year. I tell you, I appreciate this program, and I just pray, I don't want to take much more time because I've got to get to my program, but you've got an excellent topic, and I pray that people will receive this, and somebody will give you a, send you a note and say, I've come back to the Lord. I've returned. Come on back to Jesus. Come on home.
Amen. Amen. That is the prayer. Amen.
Hallelujah.
God bless you. Amen. Prophetess Karen.
Yes. I look at rebellion as a when you're in the act of actively rebelling, it opens the doorway to the demonic in a person's life. The Bible strictly warns us about rebellion and its consequences. And when we look at the prophets in the Old Testament, like Isaiah, he called Israel a harlot. Or, you know, saying that she was involved in spiritual adultery. So when you call someone a harlot, I mean, that has a negative connotation to it, because it was a lot of prophets that spoke out against rebellion because people basically wanted to do what they wanted to do, whereas God has and always had laws for us to obey, which are for our own good, because God knows best, and who are we to question God? I mean, who we are only the created when God is the creator. So
mm-hmm.
we have to surrender to God, to the things of God. And what I always think of when I think of rebellion, I think of 1 Samuel 15:23, what Dr. Dew was talking about, for rebellion mm-hmm. is a sin of witchcraft. When King Saul wanted to control things, and he just didn't listen to the things of God. And you have to listen to the things of God, and you have to operate within your own lane, meaning you know whether you're being obedient to God, whether you're a layperson, whether you're a clergy, whether you're a deacon. You know when you're being disobedient and when you're not. I mean, and sometimes out of ignorance, and that's why it's always important to study the scripture to show yourself approved. That's in
uh-huh.
Timothy. To make sure that we're not actively operating in this particular spirit, because from my experience, rebellion is always connected to also, like, it's like subcategories, the spirit of control, which always leads to anger and wrath, which leads to someone getting hurt. And that is all, and that was connected with King Saul. He killed people, which that led to his demise, and the Pharisees were involved in active rebellion, and they plotted the murder of Christ. And you look at King Herod, he massacred the innocents that he killed during the birth of, around the time of when Christ was a young child. He killed a lot of children that were 2 and under. And also, when he wanted to marry, he wanted to do what he wanted to do. He wanted to marry his brother's wife. John the Baptist, the prophet, spoke out against it. It led to his
uh-huh.
imprisonment. And then he wanted what he wanted with someone dancing, and I don't want to get too much off of it, but John the Baptist was actually murdered as a result of someone wanting to actively rebel against the things of God. I mean, it can get out of hand. And if you go back to the story of Cain and Abel, that story
mm-hmm.
is an act of rebellion, because someone – Cain wanted to, he didn't give his best. When we come to God, we have to give the best of what
mm-hmm.
we have. We can't half-step it. We have to give the best of what we have. And when we don't give the best of what we have, God rejects it. So why are you going to get mad? Because God has blessed someone else.
Mm-hmm.
Because they did what they were supposed to do, which led to rebellion, which led to contempt, trying to control the situation, which led
mm-hmm.
to anger. And this I didn't even have written in my notes. It's just coming to me as I'm talking. And which led to murder.
Right.
And which led to him being on a run and actually being out of the will of God for the rest of his life, because he was on the run. I mean, he didn't have peace. I don't think that when people rebel that they are actually – living in peace. Would you agree that they have a peace in their spirit when they have all these other things that are connected to them? And then
mm-hmm.
I can even go back to Pharaoh, because he had a hardness in his heart, and he actively rebelled against God. And every time that he did rebel, he put himself deeper and deeper and deeper into the things of God. And one thing about the Pharaoh with the Exodus, when the people left, that was a generational curse, because his father actively rebelled against God, and that particular generational curse, some of those curses trickled down on him where it affected him and his
mm-hmm.
children and his servants.
Yes.
If people know
yes.
the story, that his father wanted the firstborn killed, which was an act of rebellion, because the Hebrews were God's people. God said
mm-hmm.
that I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who curse you. So
yes.
whenever someone rebels against you, and that is still the same today, because there is nothing new under the sun. You got to understand that God when he speaks something, you know, in the Bible, the word is something that gives us life. And we have to understand when somebody is actively rebelling against us, we have to get on our knees and pray. And, of course, in the natural, we're upset, we're angry. But God will take care of it. Sometimes it might take years. But God does take care of his people. And I don't want to talk too much, but I just wanted to open a door to some of those things that I had written down about rebellion, because it's a lot of layers to it.
Yes.
I think it's like multifaceted.
Yes. Yes, it is. And that was where, and Dr. Dew, of course, jumped the gun, and that's fine, because we were going to shift over to the spiritual rebellion. But I wanted to touch in the natural how, for those that are maybe not necessarily believers, how that kind of manifests in the natural realm and how we in our sin nature exhibit and how rebellion is manifested in the natural. And so, you know, and you've made that very clear that rebellion is an open door to demonic violence, you know, in a person's life. And and so when we talk about it from the spiritual perspective, we know that the Bible strictly warns us against rebellion and the consequences that we should not take lightly, you know, and that God's word tells us that rebellion is the same as witchcraft, like you said, according to 1 Samuel 15:23. And we can just kind of go into the scriptures. We know that rebellion cuts a person off from God, and that, you know, his word says that rebellion is a great way to find yourself in a dry land spiritually. And then, you know, as you were talking a few minutes ago, there are just different levels of rebellion, different levels of authority. Because if we go back to the original definition that it is, you know, it's against authority, then we need to take a look at what that is. The levels of authority in the spiritual realm, you know, there's a level of authority, of course, in the natural realm, as we talked about, you know, our parents, you know, those who have rule over us, you know, in various levels, you know, from our parents, you know, and up from our parents up or down the way, whichever way you decide to view that. But then, of course, the levels in the spiritual realm as well. So whatever is on earth is also in heaven. So, you know, just, you know, defining authority as the power or the right to give order and to make others obey or to take specific action. So we start, of course, with the scripture, Ephesians 4:6, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all, and in all. So that lets me know right there that the highest level of authority is Yahweh.
Hallelujah.
You know, and then if you go over to Psalm 75:6, it says, for promotion cometh neither from the east, the west, the north, the south, but God is the judge. He put us down one, and he sitteth up another. You know, and so we know that there are levels of authority, you know, spiritually as well. Yahweh, which is Jesus, which would be the second level of authority, you know, and in the scriptures, if we take that, we can go a whole lot of places. Let's see. We can go to 1 Corinthians 15. For he, the Father, hath put all things under his feet, his Son. But when he says all things he put under him, it is manifested that he is expected, which did all things under him, meaning his Son. And when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself be judged, should be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God may be all in all. So that's our second level of authority spiritually. And then, of course, we know that we have an angelic authority, which are the angels, created beings, who who currently have authority over mankind, but of course were made a little lower. So then you're talking about the cherubims, the seraphims, and of course we know the biggest one, of course, was Lucifer. And so when we talk about where did rebellion begin, it began with Lucifer. Rebellion began in the mind of Lucifer, who called himself Satan the devil. He was the first and the worst to rebel.
Mm-hmm.
His sin began with pride. He was fed by envy, which developed into greed, then erupted into deception, violence, and then, of course, death. So rebellion is refusal to do what Jesus commands. Rebellion against the Most High is, of course, we know, is to be sin. Rebellion begins where? In our minds, right? So then if we go to, and if we're going to talk about angelic authority, then we would have to go to Revelation 12 and 4, and he drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them down to earth. So we know that there's an angelic authority. And then, of course, we have human authority. Man who's also been given authority, not over the fellows or not over us, but over the mighty creation. Man has abused his authority. We know that he's raped the earth. He's wiped out thousands of species and plants and animals. And now we are on the brink of self-annihilation just because of our disobedience, as Dr. Du spoke of earlier. And so we can see that there are just so many levels of authority, and then we go back to talking about where this applies in the word, and we know that the basis, of course, is truly, you know, the sword, the word, the truth, which is the word of God. So then if we went to Proverbs 17 and 11, an evil man seeketh only rebellion, therefore a cruel messenger shall be sent against him. So who's the cruel messenger? Who's the cruel messenger? That would be found in Matthew 18:34 and 35 when speaking or turning the beginning person over to torment. In other words, turning them over to a reprobate mind or turning them over to themselves because of their rebellion. The scriptures talk about, you know, turning one over to himself because they are rebellious. They will not conform.
But most people are probably thinking, what is a reprobate in mind? And that actually is a person that is rejected and abandoned by God with no hope of salvation because of their wickedness, because of their depravity, and because of their unprincipled beliefs. And it's an act of rebellion, like you said. And can you imagine living your life where God has actually turned his back on you? Because one of the things about a reprobate, they create all kinds of ways to invent new types of evil. And then they bring other people in on it. And it talks about it in Romans chapter 1 verses, I think it starts in 22 or 21, where it goes into great detail about it, where people actually make laws to try to make, you know, things of God. I mean, who are we to rewrite what God sanctioned as truth? And they try to rewrite their own truth to make themselves feel better, either about their lifestyles, what they're doing, or, you know, for money or positions of power. And that's what it's about. I mean, people have to understand that God comes first and before everything. And even if you have to, if you compromise, you can't, you know, we're living in an age of compromise. And compromise is the spirit of rebellion. You can't compromise the things of God. So.
You cannot. And I'm going to tell you something, and I wasn't going to say this, but it's been bothering me since I heard it. Was listening to a broadcast not too long ago, when you talk about compromising. And this is how the enemy gets us. And, going against the things, and like you said earlier, you know, creating our own, coming up with new ways to be rebellious. That's my thing. And so we know that rebellion, when we talk about the types of rebellion, that would be in action. You know, we've got rebellion in speech, appearance, action. Mm-hmm. So one of the things that bothered me when we talked about what you were saying earlier, just coming up with new ways, was a sexual revolution of rebellion, blatant rebellion manifested, you know, in action. And one of those things was homosexuality and adultery and fornication and incest, which has literally taken over mankind. I was listening to a broadcast and, you know, God bless her, she openly and proudly said, well, I'm going to tell you right now, there is no proof that homosexual is perverted. I'm glad they couldn't see my face.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, well, what are they reading? Because they truly aren't reading the same word that I'm reading.
Yeah, and what they have to understand where homosexuality actually started, it started with idol worship, idolatry. And when you're worshiping, you're not worshiping God. Who are you worshiping? You're worshiping Satan. So they were doing this as far as temple prostitution, as far as when these, what high priests or whoever they were in these particular temples worshiping Asherah, Dagon, or Baal, or whoever it was. They open a doorway to demonic things, which is rebellion and probably demonic possession. I mean, that's probably why people were walking around being possessed by these spirits, because they opened a doorway for those particular things. And then, of course, with any type of demonic spirits, there's always a sexual perversion that's connected to that. So,
You know, I was appalled because, you know, they think, you know, they addressed her as she was, you know, a Bible scholar. And I'm saying to myself,
really?
Oh, my God. You know, but this goes back to what you're saying, turning, this is when God turns you over. Because he turns you over. And just to give some, you know, just to put a black eye on the enemy, it's right there, Romans 1:28. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient.
Jesus.
Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate,
Deceit,
malignancy, whisperers, backbiters, hating of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, which is what you spoke of earlier, disobedient to parents, without understanding,
covenant breaker,
without natural affection. What do you think without natural affection means?
Homosexuality,
but you couldn't. And I'm like, okay, what was you reading? And thought that it's okay. And I was appalled. And empower the sea, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God that they which commit these things are worthy of death. Not only to do the same, but have pleasure in them that do it.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, oh. This is why we who are truly grounded and rooted and know God and know the word of God, rightly dividing the word of truth, have to cry loud and spare nobody. And this is why we have, you know, these I call them little breaks like this, because We have to. We have to let the enemy know this is not acceptable.
Amen.
And I do believe my other guest has actually joined us. I do believe Dr. Patterson is on the line. I'm going to open this mic up in just a second. But this goes to what you were saying in reference to, creating, what did we say? Creating
new kind of way to invent evil.
Yeah. I'm like, really? Wow. Dr. Patterson, is that you? Are you on the air? Caller 5693, you are on the air. Would you like to comment on some of what we've talked about?
I'm just tuning in. I'm just listening.
Okay, God bless you.
Amen. Amen.
I was trying to figure out where.
Mm-hmm.
Caller 2673, you're on the air. Would you like to comment on some of what we've talked about, or? Oh, I didn't open up his mic. I'm sorry. Caller 2673, you're on the air.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Is this Dr.
Hello?
Patterson?
Yes, Patterson.
Amen. Praise God. How you doing this evening?
I'm doing well. I've been hollering and screaming, trying to get it heard, because y'all been hitting it strong too.
I didn't have the mic open. I wasn't even looking in the studio at the moment. I'm sorry.
Yeah. No, that's all right. That's all right. But you all, it's some powerful stuff. You know, that spirit of rebellion. What we need to understand is, as they gave the scripture in Romans. See, there is another movement. There is a Luciferian movement or a satanic church that's out here.
Mm-hmm.
And they've been doing everything they could to destroy the Protestant church, those that believe in Christian faith. Everybody that's Christian is not Christian. And everybody want to believe that because somebody called Jesus, that they're Jesus. Now, there's a New Age 10-point plan that I was reading some information just recently. And what they wanted to get in effect, the American Christians, especially the Protestants. And just give you just a few of those points, and you see where the rebellion has come, and they have all came to pass. And now this was written, they made this plan back in the 60s. And it's like the new old world order, because they want a one church, they want a one government, and they want to be ruled by a Luciferian or a satanic church. Now, they say the difference between the Luciferian and the Satanic Church is Lucifer was the angel he was before he fell. Satan is the result of his fall. But they're the same person. One just before the fall, which had the pride that caused it to be kicked out, and Satan is the one that was kicked out. So they try to act like it's different. But here is some of the things that they wanted to do, and you can see it's prevalent. Their number one thing was to take God and prayer out of the educational system.
Yeah.
Now, they wanted to take God and prayer out of the educational system. Number one, the reason was so that all the students would not have a consciousness that God was involved, and then they would be self-reliant, and they would depend on themselves.
Mm-hmm.
That's why they took prayer out of the school, so that they could depend. Now, this was their plan, and it has worked. So now the students, they think, is in themselves, and the God that they serve now is money.
Mm-hmm. Man.
So that was number one. Number two was reduce parental authority over the children.
Mm-hmm.
And so now it used to be you can discipline your children, and now children can divorce their parents. They can. Mm-hmm. You can't say nothing to your child. The child can call the police on you if you spank them. All this stuff was to reduce the influence, because if a parent can't listen to his child, I mean, if a parent can't discipline his child, the child will never have an appreciation for God.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Because if the parent can't discipline, then there is no discipline. Because that's why the Lord said, told Abraham that I'll trust him because he would lead and direct his children and those in his household in the proper way. But without the discipline, that's why many African Americans have a problem with seeing God as their father because the fathers were not at home.
Mm-hmm.
See, so they can't see. Now, they'll see themselves as a servant, but it's hard for them to see themselves as a son.
Mm-hmm.
And all of that is spiritual. And
mm-hmm.
that's the purpose of them doing this. And that rebellion comes as a result of this 10-point plan. The next point they were trying to do was destroy the Judeo-Christian family structure and the traditional Christian family structure. So then when you destroy the structure and you let homosexuality come in there, then you have all this cheating and rebellion.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's no family. Then the family is the basis of leading to God. See, the reason for the family, God gave us our family so that we can train,
yes,
so that they can love God and be with God. So then if you don't hear your father, your mother, remember, one of the first commandments with promise was children obey your parents. If I destroy the structure, the rebellion comes because they don't have to obey your parents. Then when they come to school, they don't obey the teacher, they don't obey the boss. And forget
mm-hmm.
talking about and mentioning the word obey in a marriage, because the Bible says husband and wife should obey one another.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, that our women, especially in the black community, you tell them to obey. No, I ain't obeying nobody because they get the negative connotation.
Mm-hmm.
So that was one of the 3 points. One of the fourth ones, if sex is free, then make abortion legal and make it easy. Because, see, then now there's a spiritual side to abortion.
Mm-hmm.
But nobody wants to see it. But, see, we argue about a woman having a right to choose.
Mm-hmm.
And we want to choose abortions because we want to have free sex, have abortion. They don't know that an abortion, every abortion you have, it diminishes your health. It allows a spirit to get into you, and it allows you. Now, some things, you know, everybody always got these special cases. But most abortions are not because of something that's wrong with the fetus or whatever, or rape. Most
mm-hmm.
of the abortions are because somebody woke up and they decided they didn't want to be pregnant, or they were just playing, having fun, decided they want to get pregnant, they want to get rid of the baby. Now, my daughter has a friend that she's in college with, and she found out she was pregnant recently. And the young boy got upset, and he said he didn't want to have nothing to do with her. She ought to get an abortion. So she said she was going to keep the baby. But she starts having some pains in her stomach. And come to find out that they said, you have a venereal disease. So with this disease, there's a possibility that your baby can be born with Down syndrome or some other
That's
disease.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
And so they said, the doctor said, we suggest that you abort this fetus. So now, you know, she's like, oh, because they said there's a great possibility they can have Down syndrome, you know, some of those other mental diseases because of this disease that's in the woman that can cause disease to be on the fetus. So, you know, but that's
mm-hmm.
free sex, and this is a part of their plan to get it happen. Then the next one was make divorce easy and legal, free people from the concept of marriage and for life. So
mm-hmm.
now then we can get a divorce. So we signed a prenup, so we already got it set up. If it don't work, you know, I'm giving it 10 years, it ain't going to work, I'm going to get me another one. But see, God said in the Bible that he hates divorce.
Mm-hmm.
But see, they wrote this plan over 50 years ago, that this is what they wanted to do. And then the next one, which you all were talking about, make homosexuality an alternative lifestyle.
I just got ready talking about it. Mm-hmm.
This was 50
mm-hmm.
years ago, and they said this, and now every commercial, every television program, 90% of television programs have a homosexual theme in it. And they have more, you know, women on women, because that was the big cry for women, that we're not being recognized, so they got women on women. Then now they're getting the men, they got Modern Family. See, now it's commonplace. The whole idea is to desensitize the church, because, you know, they believe that the Protestant church is nothing but a bunch of emotional, unorganized buffoons. We got the Holy Ghost, we speak in tongues, we shout all day, but we have no principles that we live by. So then
mm-hmm.
anytime students say we ought to be free, and the crowd say, and they vote on something, we say, well, let the Lord do it. So, you know, all these things, and there's several others that they have, but all of this was the Luciferian Church, which is a part of the, and we're not bashing the church, which is a part of the Catholic Church.
Mm-hmm.
Their purpose.
You better teach.
Their purpose. Their purpose was to break down the value, because they said the Protestant Church, you all ain't nothing but a bunch of idiots, emotional buffoons. That's why basically in the Catholic Church, they almost had it a sin for any of the Catholics to read the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
They have their rules, mm-hmm. they have their catechism, but they don't read no Bible. You might carry the Bible around.
Mm-mm.
So this spirit of rebellion is not just the times. It's an effort on a particular movement that's been successful.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And these same people run the media. Some of our major companies are owned by them. Stuff
mm-hmm.
we buy. And so you notice cancer and disease has been rampant. This ain't caused by nothing. People won't say it's because of the Lord. No. Some people,
mm-hmm.
these certain people run the hospitals. They run the food companies. They're putting stuff in stuff to increase the amount of cancer. It used to be cancer was rare. Not every family is affected by cancer.
Yes. Okay.
Now we have to stop being so emotional, start praying, living by principles. I'm not going to ever be out there marching against homosexuality, because these are the last days. I'm not going to march against it. I ain't going to fight against it. But I'm certainly going to teach those that follow me. And every time you ask me of my value, I'm going to tell the truth about it. I'm going to hold
it. Amen.
I'm not going to be so passive
mm-hmm.
about it.
That's
okay.
Right.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
It's, don't ask me, because I'm going to tell you it's not okay.
That's true. That's right.
Mm-hmm.
But see, it's the spirit of rebellion that's been released. And the Bible says rebellion is as a witchcraft.
Amen.
So
mm-hmm.
rebellion, that rebellion that comes on, and then that's why our educational systems ain't really, the schools were originally set up to bring people to appreciate God.
Amen.
Now it's to bring people to appreciate the God of money, the God of power, the God of opportunity. Not the God whose son is Jesus Christ. Because when I say God, I have to preface it. I serve the God of the universe whose son is Jesus Christ. Now that separates
mm-hmm.
me from anybody that's saying ambiguously God.
Mm-hmm.
So
you
that's
know
what school play. Go ahead.
I was going to say, and when you were talking, Dr. Patterson, you know what came to mind? Galatians 6 and 7. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, he that he shall reap, which kind of goes along with what you're talking about. Rebellion produces a harvest.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
oh, yeah.
In the earth, it does. It produces a harvest, and eventually that harvest of rebellion will overtake us.
Mm-hmm.
Will overtake them. You know, those that walk in the spirit of rebellion, it's going to overtake them, but. It also those people who are what we call rebels, they ignore the word of God, and sooner or later the harvest will overtake them, because it produces a harvest. That spirit produces a harvest, and when you were talking, that's what came to mind, because the Bible says in Galatians 6 that whatsoever man soweth he shall reap, and so we just kind of look at this. In the kingdom, and those that are of us who have spiritual discernment, we, you know, you can literally see this in operation. And
mm-hmm.
I agree with you. I can't take a back seat. And if you ask me, I'm going to tell you, and you might not like my answer.
That's right. Because
I'm going to tell you the truth.
Don't ask. They don't never ask me to go on TV. Now, I'm not going to be out there marching and fighting. But you better not ask me what I believe. I'll tell you that. And see, and not only does it produce a harvest. Now, remember this about seeds and stuff. There are weeds that grow tall, and they look like a plenteous grassy area, but they're nothing but weeds.
Mm-hmm.
So the harvest is going to come.
Mm-hmm.
It ain't going to necessarily
mm-hmm.
be you want to choke people up yet.
Absolutely.
Some of the stuff ain't going to be choked up, but some of it going to grow, and they look like a beautiful place to live. But
yeah, as you guys speaking, I keep thinking about spiritual famine, Because when people are not fed the word of God the way they're supposed to be fed, I mean the true word of
mm-hmm.
God, the watered-down gospel, you go into a spiritual famine, and I see that happening to the United States. It actually started like what the pastor said when God was taken out of school, and it's Luciferian agenda. It's actually exposing children to occult practices, and people don't understand what occult means. It doesn't mean evil. It means hidden or secret. And that's what
that's
people
right.
have to understand, that
mm-hmm.
the devil wants to pull people, the children in early, you know, with cartoons,
oh.
music, video
yeah.
games. Even when I hear the video
yeah.
games, I said, that thing sounds like it's chanting.
And, mm-hmm.
you know, the kids are like in awe over it. It sounds like it's chanting. And my mom said, it sure does. And somebody's like, how did you pick that up? I was like, you have to be discerning. When you hear, you know, when you hear the things of the enemy. And see, people now are not being fed. They're in spiritual famine. The cankerworm, the palmer worm, and the locusts have all come and ate up the things of God. People have allowed those particular things to come and happen, and people, there's generations of unchurched people. That means people that don't know God, when the United States was supposed to be founded on Christian principles. But whenever you have a country that has turned its back on God, this is the result of what
mm-hmm.
you get.
Listen,
I mean,
listen, sister. The United mm-hmm. States was never really built on
I know. I know.
It was
I mean, you look at the money and you know.
Mhm. But that's the principle. There's nowhere in the world for you to be built on Christian principles and you're killing Indians and bringing slaves over. So they tell that
yeah.
lie all the time.
Mm-hmm.
It was built on Luciferian principles that were called Christian.
Mm-hmm.
It never would build on Christian principles. That you can't tell me that God wanted them to go on somebody's, because it said, cursing is the man that removes a man's boundary mark. We
yeah.
stole the land from the Indians.
Mm-hmm.
We stole Africans and slaves. We killed
mm-hmm.
them. And then they try to say Christian. These guys, those guys, like the early presidents and stuff,
mm-hmm.
they were Masons. They were in Masonic orders.
Yeah. Yes.
They were 33. We got a lot of pastors as Masons.
We sure do.
Yeah.
We got a lot of female pastors as Eastern Star. They don't know the connection. They know, but the people don't know that this is evil in nature.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it runs a family. It's like a generational curse. So if you involved in it, like my family, you have to renounce it. You have to say, Dear Heavenly Father, I renounce all soul ties to Freemasonry
right.
and Eastern
right.
Star, because I don't want
yeah.
to pass that on to my children, you know.
Right. We don't know those covenants that our forefathers made, you know, before we even got here, that are running down through our generational line.
Mm-hmm.
And it also made me think about Ezekiel 12:2. It says, Son of man, thou dwellest in the midst of a rebellious house, which
mm-hmm.
could be the kingdom of God if we think about it from that perspective. Which have eyes to see and see not. They have ears to hear and hear not. For they are a rebellious house, which goes back to the spirit of discernment and being able, especially as parents, and those that of us that are in, you know, that are in leadership, and I'll just cover everything that's in leadership and that's truly connected to divine, we are the ones that need to be those that have eyes to see and ears to hear in a rebellious house.
Mm-hmm.
We
can call those things that are hidden and expose them, pull those roots, cut the head.
Hallelujah.
Many of us don't understand, and we don't know because,
mm-hmm.
and I'm saying us because I am a pastor and I am
mm-hmm.
a preacher. Many of us don't know because we've gotten caught up in what someone described to us of what Christianity is.
Mm-hmm.
When was the last time you was at church and somebody was delivered? When was the last time? Now, I'm not talking about somebody shouting. Oh, she got the Holy Ghost. She ain't doing no but shouting. If you get the right music, get some James Brown and some Funkadelics or something, they'll move the same way.
Amen.
We don't look for miracles. We don't look for a manifestation of power. We don't
yes.
look for, Jesus said, greater works than these shall you do. We don't see where
mm-hmm.
lives have changed and people give their life to Christ and it changes them. Many of our people, because they celebrate because they're not homosexual, so they're shacking. Many of our people shacking. Many of our pastors
mm-hmm.
are having affairs with the members.
Mm-hmm.
All this stuff is going on. Ain't no glory
mm-hmm.
in the house. You got the numbers. You got the emotion. You got the offering. But the manifestation of God, Lord, we don't know it.
Mm-mm.
And then most of
Jesus, in Jesus'
we're
name, we shall
saved.
Do greater works. So you're right.
Yeah. And we ain't getting the greater works, because when was the last time you had everybody that's sick in our church die? Everybody that get cancer die.
Uh-huh. Because
everybody,
you know what? They're not operating in the... They're not operating in the Hebrews 11:1, and I'm so glad you said that, because I am getting ready to do on the first Monday, I will be doing Hebrews 11:1.
Amen.
I'm going to be doing an in depth with I'll have a co-host, and we're going to do the Hebrews 11:1, the now faith, talking about what that really, really means. I think the body of Christ don't really understand that scripture in its true essence, because if they did, then we would see the miracle signs and wonders and walk in the manifestation and the original plan of God. When we go back and I'll go all the way back to Adam. Adam walked in the fullness of God. And God didn't think no less of us than he did his own son. The same power, and I can feel my help coming, that he gave his son, he left those keys to us. He
Amen.
Left them to us so that we could walk in the fullness of God.
Mm-hmm.
But
you know
the
what
body
we've done?
Of Christ missed that.
You know what we've done?
Missed it.
We put the wrong value on the key, and we shined it up, and we put it away as something that we should treasure, like your mother's ring or something. Instead of using that key and going through and opening doors and shutting the door on Satan, we've taken value and we take pride. You know, speaking in tongues is nothing now. It used to be a battle in the 70s and 80s. Not too many people were speaking in tongues. Then the revelation hit and everybody doing it. Now everybody doing it, not a comedian's joking, everybody talking about tongues. It's nothing now. But see, it's not so much. That's why Paul said, leave the principles of the doctrine of baptism, laying on the hands, let's go on to perfection. We refuse to go to perfection.
Yes.
And one of the reasons is we don't walk in the spirit of excellence, like you said, because we have no principles that we live by. We have nothing that we hold to. Anything goes, and if enough people are doing it, we say, well, maybe the Lord is moving that way. We're not, but here's the thing, the great consolation here is, out of all that's done, all the evil that has been set in place to diminish the power of the body of Christ, the thing that we have in consolation is, Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail. He didn't say it one fight. He didn't say it wouldn't win sometime. He didn't say it wouldn't embarrass the church. But it said it won't prevail.
Absolutely.
So those of us that want to hold to it and go back to the point of, and when we talk about going back to God, most of us think about going back to dishes and putting your hat in a bun. And all that stuff was foolishness anyway. A woman not wearing pants and can't do this. That was foolishness. It never should have been in the church in the first place.
Yeah.
When we talk about going back to God, we're talking about getting in his face, allowing his manifestation to pour through us, allowing his word to come alive in us, and allowing us to build on principles that we can instill in those around us, that we can walk in the room and conviction will come. When we walk in the room, people will see us, not look at us because we're so fine or because we look like we don't have nothing, or we look poor, or we're so
but
broken.
But because the glory of God
rests on you. You can walk in Walmart, everybody be stopping and looking. It ain't because you think you're so pretty or because you got on the highest heels or the tightest skirt or the best suit, but you're walking in because of glory. And people will start coming to you and say, I don't want to be saved. And you just touched them. And they fall under the Holy Spirit, or they don't have to fall, just get under the Holy Spirit. And sometimes I walk in a place and people just start feeling conflicted. And they wanted to talk. And I ended up praying for them. This is what God is looking for. Instead of all that we playing around and making people, you know, some of us talked against homosexuality until one of our little sons or grandsons got sweet. Then we wanted to be sensitive. Let the baby alone. God going to take care of it. We ain't got to beat nobody down. But the Holy Spirit in me won't let me celebrate that foolishness.
Amen.
That's right.
And
so we have to get to the point where we go back to God, to the point where we start seeking him. Most of us don't have no principles that we live by. And that's all the Ten Commandments was all about. Ten Commandments are, I want to give you some principles, and I want to give you some things that you rehearse. That's why he told the children of Israel, talk to your family. Talk to your children when they lay down, when they get up. Put it on their doorposts. Nail it on the frontlets to their eyes. And, because, and see, that's what the Luciferian church and the other churches have that we don't have. They have a set of principles that they live by, and they rehearse them daily. And this is where it consistently comes from. We don't have anything. You know, 1 week we say you got to be baptized. Next week, baptism doesn't save you. Next week, you say you got the Holy Ghost. Then you say it's okay. Next time you say God wants to save and Jesus is Lord, then you say you can get to heaven any kind of way. We let Oprah and everybody else tell us there's more than one way to get to God. Or we got all this stuff where we vacillate. We expect God to be. Just, and then he'll give us a little something. Because certain principles, certain things, if you meet the criteria, you'll get the blessing. That's why the sinful man that does a principle that God holds to, he can get the benefit because the principle is not for the saved. It's for the believer.
Yeah.
So if a sinner believes a principle and use it, guess what? He's going to get the benefits, and he's going to be blessed by God because God has committed himself to follow the principle. What do we have? I was baptized. I feel total, and I'm all right. I do this. I still worry about money. I still worry about my health. I still worry about this. I still worry about that. We have nothing to go on. And then we tell somebody they need to be saved. Y'all not disciplined enough for me. Then we let everybody come to church any kind of way. Nobody have any reverence about coming to God. Well, then we think we stand, oh, we want to just get to the point where we just wear our jeans and our shorts and our thongs and just come and just worship God any kind of way. That's nothing but a bunch of foolishness. When you go before God, you go before some dignitary, you ought to come in there looking your absolute best. I bet you ain't going to go to the White House in your jeans.
And you ain't going to the courthouse with your jeans.
And you ain't going to the courthouse, and you know they don't reverence. They don't reverence. They don't. They've gotten so, and I'm guilty at times. We don't reverence the
people of God in their office, you know. And that ought not be. It ought not be. It ought not be. If you're not going to go to the courthouse and be like, yeah, what's up, you know, what's up, judge? You better say your honor. And we're not even supposed to honor the judge. He is not, but we call him by his title. You ain't going to call him by his first name. And you better not say mister. So why we can't honor each other in the body of Christ?
Mm-hmm. You know what we do? The pastors now, they want to get all down, want to try to identify with the young people. They call me Jimmy. Call me Peter. We don't want to.
No, I
don't let nobody do me. I don't play that. And then if we see, here's the thing. You can't respect me if I'm always trying to get in your underwear. How are you going to respect me?
That's right.
If I'm trying to sleep with you and I'm playing with your kids and I'm trying to be young with these young girls and I'm trying to walk around and look like I'm some pimp daddy, you can't respect me. If I disrespect my wife and my children, you can't respect me. And I'm not saying it's right, but that's what these dudes do.
Yes, they do.
Then they want to come in there when somebody disrespects them. So, see, I've committed to the Lord. I said, Lord, I'm bringing dignity back to being a man of God and being a pastor. So when I come, ain't nobody going to be saying, well, I had him. Because it's hard to preach about sin, and you were just sinning with Susie last night. Or you was at the disco with him shaking. Or you back in the back smoking and drinking wine with him. Hear from the Lord. No, you don't hear from nothing. Because there are many of us that are anointed but not transformed. Remember when Saul was chasing David and he ran, he looked for David trying to kill him, and he got amongst the priests. He was looking for David among the priests, and he went in there, and the Bible said the Spirit fell on him. He began to prophesy. Just like the priests. And when the people saw him, they said, ooh, Saul is one of the priests. But he got up from what he was doing, and he went out and went out to chase David to try to kill him. The Lord showed me that there are many of us, because we're in a situation, I gave them a gift. They are anointed to do what they do, but they're not transformed.
They don't have the integrity.
And that's right. Because, see, you need that skill and integrity to meet. Most people have skill but no integrity, or they have integrity and no skill.
Because
that's right.
You got a man without repentance. And God will use, he will do whatever he needs to win souls. So he'll use you to win souls, and you still lose and go to hell. Because he'll make the rock cry out, he'll use you to bring them souls in, and then you don't have your life lined up.
Okay.
The gift ain't for you. The gift is not for you. It's for the body.
Absolutely. Amen. It's for the body. So he'll use the melody to win those
souls.
That's
right. Mm-hmm. That's why a lot of people preach
and
go and sing, and they go out there and get drunk. They get do everything else they want to do, beat their wives, cuss their wives, I got a girlfriend, all that kind of stuff. And then they come, and the same thing with people, not just the preachers. I'm talking about people in the church. Come in there, they disco on Saturday night, do everything, fighting out and get up there with something.
Be the first one
shout.
Speaking in tongues.
Sunday
morning.
That personal integrity, and we've lost it. So then guess what's not going to happen?
Huh.
No glory is coming.
Absolutely.
Just because you holler and scream emotionally like the glory of the Lord was there, wasn't no glory there. Have you ever been in the church when everybody just going crazy like something big was going on? You're like, ain't nothing. I don't feel nothing. And you feeling bad because you didn't feel nothing like everybody else because it wasn't nothing there to feel.
Yes. You can feel it, especially when they're seeing reeking, a spirit of rebellion that's reeking from the pulpit. And that's what's happening in my particular region. The sin is reeking, to actually, some churches actually have a smell. To it, a smell of sulfur. And it's disgusting. And I was like, this has, just like when Jesus went in there and turned, he's like, you turn my house, my father's house into a den of thieves. And that's exactly what they're doing now. They're desecrating and defiling God's house. You don't have
no
business up there
if
you're not doing what you're supposed to do for God, period. Because
people
are going to go before Christ and be like, did not cast out demons, did not do this or did not do that. But the God, Jesus is going to say, I never knew you. So.
Now, you know what? That's some powerful stuff. Because, see, and that's why we misunderstood. Because guess what? The only reason why they're casting out devils and stuff in his name, because the name is powerful. And see, so many people think because they can use the name that they are saved.
Yeah.
If you can use a name and then he never knew you, that means the name was the thing that that was quality, and it had nothing to do with you.
That takes me over to Isaiah 30. Woe to the rebellious children, saith the Lord, that take counsel, but not of me, and that cover with a covering, but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin.
Well, and then you get that. A lot of people, a lot of saints be talking about what Gemini and Aries, and I'm a Leo and I'm a Virgo. The Bible says, woe unto you astrologers and soothsayers. But the church now, we got it. Well, I know this is the age of Aquarius, and I know what they say about us Geminis. The devil is a lie.
Amen.
You better get out of here with that mess. And the past, I heard one preacher get up talking about, yeah, you know, they say I'm a Leo, so, you know, man, you are a devil. How you going to fall for that kind of stuff? Because
worshiping the stars and the moons and the sky.
Listen, but that's what people like. And those that
want to
tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth, people don't want to hear. But those that give you a little pen, they give you a little discernment and all that, they'll take you in. Oh, he's the best preacher in the world. No, you don't know God. Because a lot of things, that's why some of our leaders that God has used them, and they've fallen. You know, they've fallen to, you know, people, one preacher was found dead in a hotel because from an overdose. Another one paying out millions of dollars because he'd been sleeping with boys. Another one, you know, just falling. A faith healer found in Rome walking with his girlfriend, who's an evangelist. Walking down, and they got pictures of them, and both of them supposed to be married, and they walking and holding hands, and both in ministry, and everybody calling their name, and they you know. And then when some of these women were divorcing their husbands in ministry, and then leaving their husband, that was releasing the spirit into the church. Then a lot of other women in ministry were like, I ain't got to take this, and then they leaving their husband. I mean, it's a spirit that's been released.
Yeah,
and these men
released
into the church, and ain't nothing but feed into the devil's mindset. But the consolation I have is that the gates of hell
shall not prevail.
Amen. Hallelujah. To God be the glory.
Amen.
So,
and
that's the consolation we should have.
And the thing about it, that the thing that gives me comfort in all of this is, like you said, the gates of hell shall not prevail. But also gives me comfort because I know that when the Lord begins to speak to me, that the hidden thing, as we were talking earlier, shall be revealed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those that think they are hidden,
mm-hmm.
they're going to be uncovered. And then, of course, we talked about, you know, this all kind of started because we were talking about the new year 2013. Well, in 2012, mm-hmm. you know, we were talking about just, you know, alignment and getting things in order. Well, now we're, you know, we're in the year, a new year, in that those that are in alignment can begin to see the manifestation of the promises of God. If you
Amen.
Are in alignment. But the point is, you got to be in your rightful place in order for you to receive the benefits. So if you're out of order, and if you are walking in combination, and you're walking in all in the rebellious spirit, if you're walking in the spirit of backsliding, if you are walking in the spirit of disobedience, these things you shall not have.
Amen.
Well, see, this is the thing. That most people don't know they're walking like that because they've bought into this lie from Satan that everything mm-hmm. is okay. Everywhere
Absolutely.
They go, they're celebrating. Everywhere they go, they're saying Hosanna, Hosanna to them. Everywhere they go, it's the same thing. All their friends the same way. You know, they all, we get together. All right, we don't go out to the disco, but we get drunk with one another. We
mm-hmm.
go out and we cheat with one another. We go out, nobody has fidelity, nobody's family. All the saints' children, the rascals sleep with the devil first before they come back to the Lord. You notice that?
Mm-hmm.
You know, all the saints' children, they go off to school or whatever. They go out there and get into all kind of crazy stuff. They come back, and now they want to be saved because they've been worn out. They ain't nothing but the trick of the enemy to defile them.
Mm-hmm.
And the same thing goes on because we have no principles. We let anything go. We sit up and watch that TV, and it instills everything in us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then, too, people fail to admonish clergy or anybody that holds a leadership role in a church. Oh, we should forgive. We should forgive. Yes, we should forgive, but there's always consequences. I mean, because you have children that are watching, and you're showing children that rebellion and disobedience is acceptable to God, and it's not. There should
mm-hmm.
always be some type of consequence when someone is caught in immorality or sin, because it's not acceptable.
Well,
it's always consequences.
But you're giving money. You're doing what the mm-hmm. Catholic Church has made people believe. See, the Catholic Church,
mm-hmm.
it's the richest church. Matter of fact, it's richer than most countries.
Yes.
The reason why they established a thing where you can pay for your
mm-hmm.
sin.
And pay,
so
like, after the person's dead, yeah, to get into heaven.
That's right. And
mm-hmm.
we still, and that's why the gangsters, the mafia, most
mm-hmm.
of them were Catholics, because when they go out, bless me, Father, for our sins, for it was 5 months since I gave my last confession. What have you done, my brother? I killed 7 people.
Mm.
Do 12 Hail Marys, and I'm giving you this $1 million, $2 million check or whatever. But all right, I'm gonna forgive your sin. Now go and sin no more. Then they come back.
Mm-hmm.
We do the same.
Wow. Do it
again. Same thing.
Uh-huh.
We do the same thing in the church. Depending mm-hmm. on if the person that sinned in the church was broke or they didn't have no special talent, we'd lay them out and embarrass them.
Mm-hmm.
But if they wanted the deacon's children, or if they're the deacon, or they're giving a lot of money in church. Or they sing in the choir.
Or they can sing. Or they can
sing.
That's right.
Compromise.
Let them get by. And we say, we got to forgive. We see that they've
mm-hmm.
done this, but we got to forgive. And nobody says anything.
Mm-hmm.
See, that's that same pay system, but the only thing that they're not getting enough money. They're not getting money like the Catholic Church.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but they're doing this almost like a woman talking about a prostitute, but she getting paid, but you're giving away your stuff for free. The Pentecostal church and the regular church, we letting sins get by for free, and the Catholic Church is paying. We're talking about them, but we're doing the same thing.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm. You're right. You're right. You're absolutely right.
And then you open a doorway for Satan, because, I mean, some people have little cracks, but, I mean, even a little crack, even a little hole allows Satan to come in and take over your ministry. And
mm-hmm.
it's very difficult once Satan takes over your ministry, because when you begin to preach, you know, you pollute everything. I mean, you think that you're coming from the depths of God, but you're coming from the depths of hell, especially because you're in control when you excuse Jezebel. When you know Jezebel was in your congregation and you do nothing about it, when you know there's a lustful spirit up on your pulpit preaching, it's your responsibility to do something about it, because any ministry you have, whether it's online, blog, radio, anything that you have, you are responsible for it and accountable to make sure that it is promoting the things of Christ. So,
well, see, because it's benefiting us, because it's maybe somebody we're enjoying, and because we allow people, because they give money or they got enough family. You know, being a pastor, you have to stand for God. And sometimes families come in and they leave together. So since I don't want to lose a family, I'll let that family leader run me. And I'm just giving an example, because that's why I don't play that. Because one church here in Durham that asked me to come and they want to be their pastor, and then the pastor's wife, she want to send notes and tell me what to preach, because she's telling her. I said, God called me. I'm God's preacher. I'm not your preacher. You don't send me no note. You don't send me nothing talking about what to preach. So, of course, they got angry and everything like that.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I'm not there today, because I wouldn't bow. And I'm like, no, you're not going to tell me.
Mm-hmm.
And then when their grandchildren come in, they didn't want me to say nothing about it and want to make all over. I ain't making over no sin. I ain't making over no devil.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so many people want you to, they want to manipulate, and that spirit of Jezebel is in both men and women. There's that spirit of domination.
It has no gender.
And most churches most churches now, the deacons run the church. That's not God's plan at all. And they vote on the pastor, and they vote him out, and they throw him in and throw him out and tell him what he's going to do. And he's scared to preach on something because he wants his money. And so you're hiring instead of a pastor. That's why you know, a lot of people don't want to fool with me, because I ain't let nobody tell me. If God called me to watch for your soul, how am I watching for your soul? I'm your babysitter, and you're going to tell me what you can watch and what you can do.
That's that Pharisee spirit. It's a Pharisee spirit that's over the deacon board, telling people, you know, what they can do, what they can't do. And to me, the Holy Spirit is not taking the lead when that is allowed to happen within the body of Christ.
That's right.
Because Ephesians 4:11-12 says what the offices are for. They're for the perfection of the saints. It doesn't really have anything to do with you. It's to perfect the body of Christ. And the body of Christ is not getting perfected, because I have a show too, and the co-host said, because all the ingredients are not being incorporated into, you know, the body of Christ. So you have mainly,
and this is why the church is missing. And this is why, and I'm gonna say this because I'm gonna go ahead and I've got about 2 minutes, 3 minutes. This is why the bride is not ready. This is why we're not ready. This is why the bride still has spots. He'll still has wrinkles. And I want to leave this thought. And I'm this has been an awesome discussion. And I definitely want to continue this, because we definitely got to go into the other two, which is the spirit of backsliding and the spirit of rejection that go along with this. But I want to just leave this thought to those that are listening, and those that will listen the archive. What are you going to say when you stand before the Father in judgment? Because this grieves my spirit. It grieves my spirit, and I was wondering why the Lord was taking a while before He gave me a release for the new year. I mean, I usually would have already, you know, been on the air way before I had for the new year, but I didn't get a release, and I certainly don't
want to go before the Holy Spirit. So I had to wait on God to give me a download. God, what do you want me to say to the people of God? Because this is not about me. It's all about you, and it's all about, you know, what needs to be said to the body of Christ to bring understanding and revelation. But what are we going to say when we stand in judgment? You know, well, God, you know, I what? You know, he says, no, that's not what my word says, and that's not what I told you to do.
Amen.
You know, well, you know, if I would have did that, they would have, what?
Mm-hmm.
What are you going to say when he says, depart from me,
mm-hmm.
you workers of iniquity? What are you going, what's going to be your excuse? And if we can just keep that in the forefront about being obedient to what God told us to do, and not according to man's standard, and compromising the word of God, and compromising our destiny, and compromising our assignment to the body of Christ.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
It agrees me, and this was awesome, Dr. Patterson. This was awesome, and you brought out some really good points, and you know, for us to think about, those of us who are in leadership, fivefold, and those of us who are walking according to the word of God. But then we also have to stop and examine ourselves along the way, because we all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and make sure that we're walking accordingly, because nobody's going to follow us if we're not doing it in the spirit of excellence. So we need to make sure that we do what the word say, repent daily, make sure that we're walking a walk that's blameless. You know, we were talking about bishops, me and Prophet Karen today, about, you know, how easy it is to get, you know, to be called a bishop and deacon and apostles. And I'm saying, you know, my God, you know, what have we come into, you know, over a title and office, and you don't have... You're not walking in integrity. You're not even living the life according to the word of God, but you want a title, and then you want somebody to follow you. And then when you're being disrespected, as you said, men of God, then when they disrespect you, you're ready to fight in the church, on the church ground.
Mm-hmm.
This has really been awesome. I just wanted to thank both of you and those that are listening and those that are in the studio for sticking it out, and you know, and just, you know, just to put it out there for those who would listen later, you know, those who are walking in the spirit, and I brought this up because, you know, wanting to expose just that spirit on all levels, but those that have been rebellious, this is your opportunity to become aware and to stop. And forsake your rebellion, and turn to God, turn to the Lord, repent of your ways, and receive mercy. God is full of grace. Rebellion is an open door to a demonic spirits in your life, and that's what we talked about when we opened up. This is a demonic spirit that just manifests in all areas, and you know. We need to be in a place where we are willing to expose this, call people to a place of repentance. God's word warns us of the rebellion, that darkened spirit in our life, and that we who are followers need to have that spirit of discernment and not turn a deaf ear or be blinded because of fear. Not walking in the spirit of fear because of what we may lose, whether that be monetary or a friendship or whatever, but be willing to cry loud and be that voice for God, because we are his walking witnesses. We are the walking Bible. Some people may never step foot in a church door. So we need to be that church without walls. And we need to call out, and we need to walk in the spirit of unity. We need to walk in, be in like-minded and say the same things and mind the same thing. And then we need to be deafened to the ears to hear God's voice.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So I want to thank you for joining me this evening, and we pray that you were strengthened, you were encouraged, and most of all that you received knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. We praise the Lord for you and you and you. I want to thank my guest this evening, Dr. Corinthians Patterson, Bishop Patterson, and Prophetess Karen Brank. I do believe Apostle Nails is in the studio. I want to thank her for tuning in and listening. I'm going to get her one of these evenings. I'm going to get her in here as well. Awesome woman of God. Those that were in the chat room and those of you who will tune in via archives, and if you did not get the entirety of the show in about 10 minutes after we are off the air, it will download. So you are more than welcome to go back and listen to it in its entirety. We certainly did go over, so we are in recording mode at the moment. And thank God for each and every one of you. Next Monday is a holiday, and I generally celebrate Martin Luther King, whose birthday is today. I usually do participate in some of the celebrations, so I will not be on the air next Monday, which is why I felt because the enemy I'll be honest and say I don't know what happened Monday, but I do know that all things work together for the good. And I do believe God ordained it for me to do this on a Wednesday, even though usually Wednesdays are generally a Bible study night. But God impressed it upon my heart to go ahead and gave me clearance to go ahead and do this. And so I thank God for being obedient. I desire to be obedient and walk, you know, in the will of God and not necessarily my own. And I am certainly one who will die to my flesh to be pleasing to the Lord. And so next Monday I will be off the air, and we'll be back on the last Monday of the month. And again, announcement for the first Monday, I will be on the air with my special guest, Pastor Bullard out of Red Springs, North Carolina. And we are going to do Now Faith, Hebrews 11:1, and we're just going to talk about it, and we're going to break it down to as far as we can get it into little pieces. And so please join me on, I believe that's February the 4th, for that broadcast. I probably will open that up to be about an hour and a half, and it may go 2 hours. So just come with your pen and your paper, and depending on how the Lord leads, we may open the line. But he's going to have his work. It's just going to be all about him and none of us. We're just a mouthpiece and a vessel that he has chose to use in this hour. God bless you, man of God. God bless you, woman of God. Have a good evening. And let's see, Lord Jesus, what are we going to go out on? The Lord has been blessing me with favor. I thank God for the favor of God. Ooh, let's see. What are we going to go out on? Let's go out on.
Study the scriptures to show thyself approved. Study the word. The word itself brings forth all truth. And it's always important not to go by what we say or what a pastor says on a pulpit, but always study the word for yourself. You know, when you're unsure, read the word of God, because the truth will shine through. It's a sword, like you said. It talks about it in Ephesians chapter 6 that the word of God is a sword. And just stand on the word of God and be rooted and grounded in it. And therefore, you won't be swayed, and you will be able to discern when someone is preaching a false doctrine. And whenever someone is preaching a false doctrine, according to Galatians chapter 1, they are living under a curse. So we have to make sure, no matter who we are, that we teach the Word of God and we teach the correct doctrine that comes from the Holy Spirit, which is Christ that is present on the earth today, that dwells in all believers. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Dr. Patterson, did you have something to say?
Well, just to add to what my dear sister was saying, Jesus said, you don't know the words or you don't know the power. And if this year, you know, our theme for my family in ministry is embracing the unknown and through the eyes of faith, seeing the unseen in 2013. So we're embracing the unknown and we're looking for God to manifest. If you don't know the word, you won't know the power. So if you don't know the power, you won't get the manifestation. You won't get the manifestation. You won't get the compliment of being a son of God.
Amen.
So now it's time for us to get. But, you know, the problem is there's not enough. There's a lot of us out here, but there's not enough of us that come together that really push the word. And a lot of times, everybody on this line has a powerful ministry, but we haven't come together. Many of us, some people need to know that we're here. Some of us in the same area, we don't even connect with one another. We connect one another with the phone, but we need to start building a momentum, because just like as Satan plans and they strategize, it's time for us to start planning. It's time for us to start taking back the areas and putting the word out and taking our young people back, making an impact. Because, see, Satan is making too much noise, and kids like noise.
Mm-hmm.
We're too quiet.
Hey, dude.
It's time for us to make some noise.
Hallelujah.
So, you know, let's get this word and let's stand for the word. And we're not going to throw nobody under the bus. We're not going to be browbeating anyone. We're just going to stand for the word.
Amen.
That's what our job is, to stand for the word. And then the word is powerful enough on its own. If God can see, God will not manifest if he don't have a vessel that will believe him.
Mm-hmm.
So even though he don't need us, but at the same token, he has committed himself to use us, so he needs us.
Yes, hallelujah. Mm-hmm.
So I'm glad to be needed by God, and I want to fulfill that need. So I'm seeking not only to get his word, but I want to be used.
Mm-hmm.
I'm tired of being misused by Satan. I want to be used by God.
Hallelujah.
So let's get together. Evangelist Benson, put something together where we all can come together.
Absolutely.
This is a new year. Now it's time to stop playing now. Let's get together and let's make something happen. Because enough of us, we need to come together and strengthen one another's hand.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir. Absolutely.
And as everybody, you know, the titles, you all were talking about the titles and stuff earlier like that. That's the carrot that the church, not the body of Christ, but the church has put before people. That's why so many people pursue it, because that's what people recognize.
Mm-hmm.
So we can't blame people for responding to the carrot, because that's the carrot that people put out there.
Mm-hmm.
Now we got to bring those of us that bear these offices. We gotta. My commitment now is to bring dignity back to the body of Christ.
Yes.
To whatever it is that I'm calling myself, or whatever I was ordained to be, I want to be able to walk in favor. So when I walk in a room, they can say, "That's a man of God."
Hallelujah.
That's what we need to do. And we ain't gotta spend time worrying about somebody else that's not living right. Let them deal. God gonna deal with them. Let's bring dignity to what we're doing.
Absolutely. And it starts with us. It starts with us.
That's
I told someone was ministering. I said, I was talking about the harvest, wheats and tares. And I said, you cannot expect the body to line up if the head is not right. It flows from the top down. Well, they disagreed. I said, well, then you need to go back and you need to talk to God about that, because that's the word of God. And no sooner did they disagree, they were sick the next day. I said, see, how quick you come out the mouth, and how quick God intervenes. He intercedes.
That's right.
Because I'm not going to give you, if you ask me, I'm going to tell you the truth. If I don't know, I'm going to daddy. I call him my daddy. I'm going to my den. I'm going to go around with my face, and I'm going to get an answer.
Amen.
Or I'm going to seek help from my brothers and sisters in Christ. If I don't know, I'm going to pick up the phone and call one of my apostles. Okay, I need some help.
give me
that's
some
right.
understanding.
And you know what?
Because the Bible and all, I get a good understanding.
You
Amen.
Just said something that we needed to use as a theme for this year.
What's that?
The Bible says the wheat and the tares grow together. Now,
yep.
if we tear the tares away, we're going to snatch up some of the wheat. That means if we go out here and try to show every preacher, every saint, that every preacher is wrong,
mm-hmm.
we're going to tear up the wheat that's following these preachers.
Absolutely.
God don't want us to go in there and embarrass
them. He did
separate that. That's
right.
Right. So now we got to get our mind off. Well, I don't care if he's preaching Johnny struck a match and the match went out. It doesn't matter. God going to get him because there's some people out there that's been looking for Johnny all the time and they're going to follow.
Mm-hmm.
But all we have to do is stand up with the word of God. God will take care of them.
Yes.
And we just have to bring dignity to what we're doing.
Absolutely. God bless you.
So I ain't going to beat no preacher down, but I ain't going to be sitting around there with him either. If I find out that a joker ain't living right and ain't doing right, you ain't got to worry. I ain't going to beat you down. I ain't going to be around either.
That's another truth of the enemy. Because if we're concentrating on them, then we're not concentrating on what we're supposed to be doing, which
that's
is what we're supposed to fight. So that's a distraction.
Mm-hmm.
That is what the enemy wants. He drops those
mm-hmm.
seeds of spirit of distraction. He drops the seeds
mm-hmm.
of division in the kingdom of God. And if we're so busy doing things that are of this world, then we're not being obedient and doing the things of God and what he has acquired of our hands. That is the trick of the enemy.
Mm-hmm. Well, God bless you all, and God will hold
you
up. And I challenge you all to stand up in the godly integrity.
Amen.
And be righteous. Be saved and be in relationship with God. And God going to bless us financially. See, the other thing, let me say this last thing. This year, God wants us to have resources. But see, there, I don't have the temptation to have to preach a certain thing so I can get money to get home.
Mm-hmm.
See, if I come in there wealthy, I can say what I want to say. A man that's got money or a woman that's got money, when they ask her to preach, she ain't looking for no offering. She going to take it if they give it to her, but she ain't nobody got to give her nothing.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why a lot of us, we yield to the temptation because we need them to come through for us. So
mm-hmm.
God's going to bless us to be wealthy. So I can say what I want to say.
Amen.
And see, I have enough money when I walk in the church and the pastor ain't doing right. I can call them out if I need to. If the Holy Spirit lead me that way and I ain't got to worry, he ain't going to give me no offer. You ain't got no offer from me. You're going to curse yourself because I got money.
Mm-hmm.
See, you ain't tempted.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
It's just like on a job, they treat you any kind of way. You won't say nothing because you need that salary. But if you just working because you enjoy it, you can tell them, look, I ain't taking this from you. I quit.
Mm-hmm.
God's going to give us greater options. Thank the Lord. God
mm-hmm.
bless you all. And love you all.
God bless.
Pastor Benson, thank you. And I'll see you
mm-hmm.
soon. I'll have to come and see you.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
All right. Bless
Amen.
You all. Bless
God them. Bless
all
you.
Right.
God bless you. Again, thank everybody for tuning in, for joining me. And those that are in the studio, those that will listen by way of archives, God bless you and taking time out and hanging in there with us. Oh, I just praise God for each and every one of you. And we're going to say goodnight. We're going to go out with this song. And may heaven smile upon you. May you have sweet rest. And may God smile and bless you from the crown of your head to the sole of your feet. God bless you, Prophetess Karen, for joining me this evening and taking time out of your busy schedule to rightly divide the word of truth.
Amen. God bless.
God bless.
You did not wait for me to draw nigh to you, but you clothed yourself in frail humanity. Not wait for me to cry out to you, but you let me hear your voice calling me, and I'm forever grateful, Lord.
Good night, everyone, and have a blessed year.